Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm enjoying my time here, both because I think what Brother Warren and Jim have is so important for us, and I trust that as we spend our time together today, Lord willing, that we will find that we're encouraged in the Lord, not always encouraged by what we see taking place, but we can be encouraged in the Lord. I do want to mention just several things before I start. First of all, there's a number of free cards out there. These are printed in China and Hong Kong, and they're yours for the taking, so help yourself to as many of those as you like. And maybe some are asking why I'm infatuated with artwork. The artwork that you see out there is all from Burma. And so this is done with straw. I didn't take the three-dimensional ones. On the three-dimensional ones, there's only one or two artists in the whole country that do those. If the Burma government catches me bringing those out, they have great delight in smashing them. And so this is a flat one that's a little bit easier to get out. But you can see it's also made of straw. You'll find some others. And those are for donations to the work that goes on in Burma. There's another one. This is the only one that I have. I have some of different sizes. But this is those are raw jewels. Like that really is rubies. So if you're going to steal something, I would suggest you start with this. Okay? And the green really is jade. In Burma, the wealth of the country is incredible. They have teak wood. If I could just get teak wood out of there, you cannot believe it. I've seen desks that are just phenomenal. Matter of fact, my wife says, don't keep looking at that desk. You know it's going to burn. Until it burns, oh, would I like to have that in my office. And I mean, it's just incredible. And a desk that, I'm not kidding when I say it probably weighs 1 ton, real close to a ton. And the guy would sell it for $80-some. I mean, it's unbelievable. The wood is fantastic. Well, the other thing is jewels. And they have so much jade and so many jewels. And so these are actually ones that are cut as they cut other things to make jewelry. This is the rough stone, and they put them in there. And they're fun to see, and the three-dimensional ones are just harder to hold up. But take a look. I'm particularly like the tiger that's out there. That's done by the one artist who is probably... I've never seen the likes of it anywhere in the world. So take a look at that in the village. And then I want to mention Dave Hunt's book, Judgment Day. What an outstanding book. Go back and read it, and I see how up-to-date the Bible is. And I know this has been out a few years. It's still an excellent book, and so I can endorse that. And there's other things for you to look at on the table as well. Take your Bible and turn with me today to Matthew chapter 16. We have several passages that we want to read, and we certainly have quite a bit of ground that we want to cover. Spiritual weathermen. Remember, Christ spoke to the Pharisees and Sadducees. We'll just read that, and then we'll go on to some other passages this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees with the Sadducees came, and testing him, desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and overcast. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And that's really what our hope is, that as we look around, that we will see where we are located in terms of God's prophetic calendar. I really believe the Bible would have us to know the signs of the time. And as I hear Brother Rick talk about the things, I think you'll see how this dovetails together with some of the things that we're looking at. Then take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Because today we want to look at other areas where we're watching indicators. Remember, the indicators are not signs for the rapture of the church. I mentioned this. I hope if there's one thing you take home from the conference is you'll say, you know what, there's not a sign for the rapture. There's a sound. Okay, the sound of a trumpet. And if you wait until you hear the sound, then you've waited too long. Okay? And so there are signs, but all the signs are for the kingdom of God coming. When Christ comes back to the earth with the saints, All the signs are for the tribulation. Now, I'm going to give you a little illustration, and it does work real good here because I know your Thanksgiving's a little different than ours, but when I go through Walmart, that's an American institution, I go through Walmart, and it'll be about, you know, it'll be August, and my wife is just fuming because they got Christmas decorations up. And I said, I don't know why that makes you so mad. I said, I love to see them up. She says, why? Because I said, that just lets me know Thanksgiving's coming. And she says, and what does that mean? And she's convinced that I'm off in another world. I said, no, it makes perfect sense. Whenever I see the Christmas lights and the Christmas trees up in August, I say to myself, yeah, Thanksgiving's coming. Now, I know the symbol of the Christmas tree and Christmas light, it's not for Thanksgiving. But I know that if Christmas is coming soon, Thanksgiving's coming before then. Are you with me? See, you're ahead of my wife's thinking. She still can't figure this out. Okay? It's probably a poor example, but that's how it is. Look, we're looking at these things that are described that are really tribulation events. And if those are tribulation events, and we leave before the tribulation ever begins, listen, it's impossible for the tribulation to ever begin as long as the church is here. It's impossible for the tribulation to begin until the Antichrist is revealed. He's the one who initiates the peace proposal, the treaty, Daniel 9:27, who makes it with the leaders of Israel. He cannot do that devilish work until he's revealed, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He cannot be revealed until I'm gone and every other believer. And so that's why, as a matter of fact, you go through Revelation 4, 5, 6, it's impossible. It's impossible for the tribulation to begin until the saints are in heaven at the feet of God the Father and recognize Christ for who he is. It's impossible. And so we come now to Revelation chapter 13. And there's something that's quite interesting about this, because it's a description of the Antichrist and the false prophet. You see, there's a false trinity. In the true Trinity, there's God the Father, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit. In the false Trinity, there is the devil. There is the Antichrist. There is the false prophet. So everything that Jesus has, the Antichrist wants. Just as Satan wanted to be worshipped as God, so we see that there's a false trinity. Now, as we come to Revelation chapter 13, there's several things that I really want you to see the importance of it. First of all, it's the idea of power. What the Antichrist really desires is power. And with that power, he will use it to bring about his cause and his purpose and his deception. And how he takes that power, what he has to do to get the power, it's through deception. And time again, if we had time, I think I could find over 24 references when talking about the Antichrist or Satan in the last days, he uses the words to deceive. Now, as Brother Warren was up here talking, did you see the whole plan of the New Age movement was to deceive? They never give you a straight answer. They won't do that. Because the plan is to deceive. The plan is whatever they say one thing, they mean something else. You know what? Our arena of politics today is very much aimed at that. And when you see what the Bible says about the last day, it doesn't have to do with a political party. It doesn't have to do with a country or nationality. I'm not trying to get you to change your vote from one party to another. I think they're equally corrupt. I think it's impossible to say, let's change political parties and bring in the kingdom of God. I know there are people back home. It's kingdom theology. If we elect the right people, we will bring in the kingdom of God. No, we cannot bring in the kingdom of God. And so, Revelation chapter 13. Notice the idea of power. Verse 1, and I stand upon the sand of the sea. I think the sea here represents the Gentile world powers. And I say that because of Revelation 17, he says, see the waters? Well, they're people, kindreds, tongues, and nations. And so this particular scene, he stands upon the sand of the sea, he sees a beast rise out of the sea. I think this first beast is the Antichrist. I think he comes out of the Gentile world powers. Could he be a Jew? Absolutely, he could be a Jew. But he's in the midst of the sea. I think he's in the midst of the Gentile world powers. He has 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. Now, who is the dragon? I'm glad you asked. Revelation chapter 12. Go back just a little bit. You'll find in verse 9, or verse 7, there's a war in heaven. Strange place for a war, isn't it? You know that one of the greatest wars is going to be fought in heaven. Matter of fact, I call it the original Star Wars. Okay? Yeah, what they did with Hollywood Star Wars, it was completely fictional. And you might be a Star Wars fan. I'm not, because as we were looking at inviting some of the makers of Star Wars to the College of Engineering because of the special effects, among the things they say is that just as Greek mythology explains away the Old Testament, Star Wars explains away the New. So I decided I didn't particularly want to bring him on campus. But there's a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. See his occupation? He deceives the whole world. Now back to chapter 13, verse 2. So when this beast comes out of the Gentile world powers, the devil, the dragon, gives him his power. And look at this. And his throne and his great authority. Now, notice verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon who gave power unto the beast. Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months or 3.5 years. Okay? Verse 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Verse 12. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him. Verse 14. And deceived them that dwelt on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwelt on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had a wound by a sword and did live. And he has power to give life unto the image of the beast. Do you see the point? There's something that this Antichrist wants. He must have. He must have power. Because when you look at this chapter, by the time you're done, you're going to find that there's 5 things that he desperately wants. And when he has those 5 things, he is capable then of initiating a plan that was instituted by the devil himself. The Antichrist gets his power from the dragon, from the serpent, from the devil. He has the throne and the authority of the devil. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And when he's done, he says, listen, I need these things. Number one, he said, I need a political system. Somehow or another, I've got to gain political power. If you're going to control the entire world, you're going to have a political platform, aren't you? And so look at the world today. Would you say that it would be easier for a single individual to take over the world today than it was 40 years ago or 20 years ago? Well, I mean, the world is being compressed to where it could be taken over. A political system. Next, he's going to need an economic system. You cannot be a world player. You cannot control the world if you do not control the monetary system of the world. And it's going to be necessary to bring the economic systems of the world into one single uniform package. We're on our way. We're watching it take place, let's say, through computers and through trading, through markets that are open all the time. And look, I'm not saying it's bad to trade. I'm not saying it's bad to do investments at all. My point is this, that the world's economies are tied together like never before. It's impossible for something to go bad in one country and not affect another country. And so that's what the Bible says. Quickly, keep your finger there, but go with me to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, it speaks of those last days. Revelation chapter 18, verse 17 says this, for in one hour so great riches are come to nothing. And it's going to take place. Is it possible that in one hour the whole world will go broke? I think it will take place for sure. And so here is the Antichrist. He has to have a political system. He wants an economic system. Next, if you're going to control the entire world, you know what you have to have? You have to have a military system, don't you? Now, you may not have the same suspicion I do, but wow, I look at the United Nations, and I'm totally amazed at what is taking place. Matter of fact, you know what? There's a real good chance we have several people back home who have objected because, you see, they are in the U.S. military. They find themselves in a situation where what they do may be opposed by the United Nations, and we may find ourselves with our own soldiers fighting our own soldiers. I don't know about you. I don't trust the United Nations. But when I watch what the United Nations is doing, and when I watch what is taking place in America, where we're cutting the military budget, and then we gave a huge amount of money to the United Nations to run a world army, I'm a little suspicious. I mean, how does that make sense? How do you say, we don't need a stronger defense in our country? They say, we are so strong, we have so many high-tech things, we don't need more money in the defense budget. Then they go across the street, literally across the street, to the United Nations, and they say, we must have enough security, enough armed forces to actually dominate in the world scene. So they took the money out of the U.S. Defense Department and gave it to the United Nations. Wow, that's a good investment. I mean, isn't this incredible? And you read Revelation 13. He must have a military power in order to control the whole world. Not everyone's going to agree with him. And he's going to make it so that if you don't agree with him, then you will be executed. You must have a mark in your forehead or your hand. I know he said, no, that'll never. You want to know something? I think we're one disaster away from having that true in America. Yeah. Matter of fact, you know what? One of the people working on this happened to be a Canadian. As a principal of school, they're all the time trying to sell us devices that control kids. And among the things that's very important in America is security. I know up here, you know, you got honorable citizens, but back home we have people that try to rob a bank. I mean, can you imagine? No one in Canada, you can't even imagine this. You probably, you know, read about it in the old books or see it on movies. But, I mean, these guys come in and they'll rob a bank. You know what? Banks would love to have it so that every customer they have has a computer chip. Because the minute he walks in the door, or she walks in the door, on the screen that the teller has, you know every single person that walks in. It's real hard to rob a bank, isn't it? They want it because of security in schools. That you cannot get in the door unless you have a card with you that has your identification number, a little computer chip. And when you have that, you can stick it in there or you can just be wearing it. You don't have to pull it out now. You just wear it in your pocket. And you walk in, and if you have it, the door will open. If you don't have it, it doesn't open. I went on a tour in the plant. And so this guy, he gave me this silly badge, you know, it says visitor. And he says, okay, he says, and he typed into his computer. He says, you can go into any room that's green or blue. But it says you can't go into a red one. So I went down the hallway of my tour, go in a green door, looked at it. Go in a blue door, looked at it. I said, I wonder what he didn't want me to see. Isn't that how your mind works? And so I thought, I'll try it. And it goes, zzz, locked. I said, I'll fool that door. I walked past it. I hit it again, and zzz. And then his voice came in, he says, we knew you'd try that. Yeah. And then every door down the hall went click, 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 click. Every door was locked. And he came and says, he said, this is great. Kid says, okay, I want to go to the bathroom. Nothing wrong with going to the bathroom. But you see, normally a kid stops by the cafeteria, stops by his locker, goes, you know, he's gone 30 minutes. So you can actually give him a pass, type in bathroom, that's the only door that will open for him. And when he began to explain the great virtues of the system, you know what I said? I said, if I was a kid, I'd take this. I said, I'd flush it right down the stool. Oh, he said, we thought about that. He said, the next generation will be implanted in your hand. Yeah. Credit card companies are pushing this. The vice president of the largest credit card company in the world said this: we would like to have a chip inserted in people at birth. Yeah. because we would like to be able to follow everything they do, what they eat, where they go, and all their spending habits. And then he said this, what a great advantage to healthcare. Because there could be times when you use your card, you could get a warning from your credit card company saying, you really should not be eating that. Yeah, this is bizarre. Okay, my point is this. In America, we're one disaster away from having every single person put a chip on them. Yeah. And it would be done in the... You see, I don't think that chip is the mark of the Antichrist. But I think the Bible says that that kind of technology would be here and available when the Antichrist comes, and he doesn't come to the tribulation, and I'm out of here before then. I don't know about you. I'm packed to go this morning. I don't have to go back to the hotel. Don't have to go back to Wichita. I can go right up from here. Okay? Boy, I'll tell you what. You see, how could we make up a scenario of the end time any closer than what we have now? Now, wow, I sat back there the whole time and said, I'm not going to get sidetracked. Here I am, sidetracked. Okay, so the Antichrist is going to need a political system. We're watching the world come together, aren't we? I think they would readily find someone to hand their power to. An economic system, a military system, technology. Next, they need a religious or a cultural framework. Listen, when I'm hearing Warren Smith talk about the religious framework of the New Age, what a perfect framework for the Antichrist. Believe everything, believe nothing, believe anything, it's okay. Endorsed by religion. You know what? I'm convinced the first Sunday after the rapture, it'll be church as normal in most churches. The Antichrist will be a religious person. He's not going to be anti-religious. He's going to be religious. And so here's what we find the Bible talks about in the last days. Now, let's move ahead a little bit. And let's talk. I think one of the indicators that they were living in the last days is financial collapse. You see, I don't think the real financial collapse is going to occur until we're out of here. So you might be okay until tomorrow. Okay? But I think we're that close. You know, it's unbelievable what has just taken place. And now, I try not to always give away my political affiliations, but I'm amazed. March 2010, government takeover of healthcare. Now, I don't care what you think about hair care so much as this. How can they decide some of the basic things that I think you should decide on your own? I'm not even big on no smoking in restaurants. You want to know why? I think that if you want to smoke and burn yourself on the inside, I think you ought to be able to do it. Don't blow your smoke in my face. I'm not even big on seat belts. Sure, it saves lives. But you know what? There's got to be a time when the government doesn't tell us everything. They tell me, breathe, do it, breathe, breathe. If a person don't want to breathe, let him not breathe. Perfectly fine with me. You see, we've gone to this, and they're saying they're doing it for my good. Oh, no, they're not telling me. That's not for my good. He said that every American would save $2,500 on health care a year. Guess what the new proposal says now? It's going to cost them over $3,000 more. Yeah, $3,000 more per person. I'm counting little children, too. And how are they going to afford it? Yeah, we're going to terminate those who are no longer functioning useful in society. That's probably me. You see, my point is this. Look at the government. The auto industry. I never thought someday I'd be running a car company. Here I am. I own one. I own several. I mean, it's just incredible. They're going to take over the telecom system. The bank takeovers. I don't know about you, but personally, I think when the banks run into trouble, I mean, if a bank runs into trouble to the tune of about $50 billion, I think they ought to go broke. I mean, let them go broke. Wouldn't that be a valuable lesson for some of the other people? And these bonuses of $10 million bonus? I mean, I don't make that every 2 weeks. I mean, it's just ludicrous, isn't it? And so here we are. Why are we propping them up? You know what they said? We hate for a good crisis. Huh. We hate for a good crisis to go unheeded and for us to take advantage of the good things that come out of it. What's a good thing? You know what it is? The government can completely controls our life. It's going to get worse, not better. I don't care what political system is in power. That's what's going to take place. Take over a food. Wow. Take over charities. Oh, yeah. You watch. It's just a matter of time. They're already trying to take over schools. You should see the questionnaires that we get. You know what? A long time ago, we decided that we would not take one single dime of any government money. Because the minute you do, then they can tell you what to teach. They can tell you who to hire. I mean, it's unbelievable. You see, the whole point is this. I think we're at a place where we're watching the government. I really do think they feel like they have the world system under control. One world system. Genesis 11. Genesis 11, under Nimrod. Remember, there was a one world system, wasn't there? And they had a theology. You know, let us make bricks. Let us build ourselves. Let us make a name. Let's become gods. And God rejected it, didn't he? He scattered the people. But since that time, we've continued to try to do this. Now, I show you this picture because among the things that I think is quite revealing, remember just a few years ago, we used to talk about something called G7. And then we had mercy on Russia. We called G8. We said, you know, there's eight powerful nations in the world, and we want to respect those, and they ought to come together, and we ought to, you know, they ought to help solve the problems. And now it's G20. And my guess is you couldn't even name half of the people that are there. But what has happened, they are now masters at getting all these governments together. So, okay, let's work together and let's solve problems. Now, some of the problems they're solving are fantastic. Let's just take global warming. And I promise I'm only going to talk about this for 2 or 3 minutes, because if you were as cold as I was in Kansas this last winter, you know we don't have global warming. And you don't know how much I enjoyed it when Al Gore was going to talk, give his great speech, and Washington got hit with a great big snowstorm, a record snowstorm, global warming. Oh, my. And do you realize that 20 years ago, there were technical papers written? Because 20 years ago, they were worried because the average temperature over the last 20 years had gone down almost 1 degree. And so they were saying, if we're not careful, an ice age is going to come. That was 20 years ago. And now it's neutraled out. And because it's gone up almost a degree, however, it's been wiped out quite a bit during this last year. Now, Al Gore says global warming. He says now we're all... This is just ludicrous, isn't it? There is such a thing as temperature variations. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And so, I mean, it's just incredible. Well, My point is this. They get these governments together to solve problems that they have invented. And as they get them together, they hook them together. And you know what? It's so that these people will all come together and they will endorse a single government. And so now we got G20. And G20, its whole purpose is just to bring together so that we can... It's an easy takeover. Listen, if a real leader would come and march in that crowd, he would take control in a day. Because most of those people are puppets, even in their own countries. We have a president who's respected by a lot of people around the world. He can't. Have you ever seen him make a speech without a teleprompter? It's the most embarrassing moment of my life, was to watch him try just to give a simple award. He couldn't do it because the teleprompter wasn't working. Without Ron Emanuel, he can't even make a decision. He doesn't know what to order for lunch. Got to check with his brain. You know, listen, these men are set to endorse somebody. And my fear is this, that an Antichrist will come and it will be easy picking. And I'll always have people say, okay, tell us off the record who it is. And they think I'm going to say Obama. If Obama was the Antichrist, I'd be the most disappointed person in the world. The devil can surely do better than that. Okay. Yeah. And no, I'm serious. I think when the Antichrist comes, he's going to be an incredible person that will be so smooth that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. That's how smooth. And there's some who already see through it. And so I don't think he will be revealed. The Bible says he's a little toe. We don't know whether he has brown eyes or blue eyes until after we're gone. And so you tell me, because I'm going to be in heaven. And so you can report. Here's another one that I think is important. And I'm teasing about you. Tell me. Okay. United Europe's new decade. I just pull these things off the internet. As 2010 gets underway, the new decade promises to be a monumentous one for a unified Europe. But it does not bode well for the rest of the world as events in the Middle East threaten to spiral out of control and so on. And so here's their great thing. They now have 27 members. It says they, with the Treaty of Lisbon, they issue for a single EU president. They talk about a number of things that they want to push through, and those are fine. I think they should try to promote themselves whenever they can and however they can. But it's interesting because among the things that is a central issue is European Union and Israel clash over Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting because, I'll deal more with this in my next session today, Jerusalem, who controls it, who cares? But isn't it interesting that all of a sudden, the European Union says, okay, half of Jerusalem must be given to the Palestinians. Could I just ask you this? Why does the European Union have any right to say what occurs in Jerusalem? And then Uncle Sam, you know who he is? He goes over there and he says, you shouldn't build houses in Jerusalem. I have the article. He says it's dangerous. I mean, this is unbelievable. Can you imagine, what if Europe came to Calgary and said, you know what, we don't want you to build any more apartments over here on this side of the river. What would you tell them? You'd say, take a hike, wouldn't you? Or you might say in different words than that, you know. You'd say, take a hike. But, okay, you know, how is it their business? And yet all the world thinks that they can tell Israel how to run it. So here's a European Union, and they say at least half of it must be given away. Here's the United States, and they say you can't build any more apartments in Jerusalem. I mean, this is incredible. Why should it matter? Huh. You want to know why? Because the crown jewel on planet Earth is Jerusalem. Why? It belongs to God. It belongs to God. And whatever belongs to God, the devil wants. That's how jealousy is. Worship belongs to God. The devil wants it. Power belongs to God. The devil wants it. And so everything that God has, the devil wants. It wouldn't matter what it was. The devil is like a spoiled two-year-old kid. Doesn't matter what toy the other kid's got. That's the toy he wants. So God has Jerusalem. It says so in the Bible. And because of that, the devil wants Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting that here's all these people, they got these tremendous plans. I mean, one of the last things that Jimmy Carter did, he had a plan for peace for Jerusalem. You saw how well that worked. Here's George Bush. He wanted to leave a legacy for his presidency, and he says, my legacy is going to be the peace in Israel. Not much of a legacy. Now you're confused. You thought I was a Republican. Yeah, Obama is working on a peace plan for the Middle East. Ron Emanuel just hasn't got it done yet, but then he will announce it. Europe, guess who else wants Jerusalem? Yeah, the Catholic Church says, you know what? We have a solution. Give us Jerusalem. Give us Jerusalem, and we can settle it peacefully. It's incredible, isn't it? And so here we are. We're looking at a one-world system. And my goodness, it just makes it look like we're exactly at the time that the Bible said would be. The lukewarm church. You know, I think I'm going to pass through this one pretty quickly because I'm trying to make up time. I do want to read a book. I mentioned this to Brother Warren. A manifesto to emergent... an emergent manifesto of hope. Wow. You talk about pure 100% trash. This is it. It's one of those things that as you begin to read it, you get sick at your stomach. May I read you enough to ruin your lunch? Page 196. And this is on the section on he kind of scolds us because he says, you know, he says the problem is, he says, we've excluded other religions and other beliefs from Christianity. So his title is The Sweet Problem of Inclusiveness, Finding Our God in the Other. Other is capital. And he goes on to say, he says, for most critics of such open Christianity, the problem with inclusiveness is that it allows for truth to be found in other religions. To the emerging Christian, the problem is sweet. In fact, instead of being a problem, it's a reason to celebrate. We don't want to just tolerate the godliness of the other as we regret the possibility. The godliness of non-Christians is terrible to our theology, but it's wonderful to those who embrace this. The gospel has taught us to rejoice in the goodness we can find in others. Moreover, if non-Christians can know our God, then we want to benefit from their contribution to our faith. This is incredible. How do you know God? There's only one way to know God, that's through His Son. There's one way to know His Son, that's through His Word. And so he goes on to say, in fact, he says, we've been doing this every week in our churches, not where I attend. Okay, we use sermon illustrations from all aspects of life under the sun to illuminate the gospel of the kingdom of God, but we stop short of using and crediting such illustrations when they're part of someone else's religion, such as the life of Muhammad or a Zen story. The life of Muhammad helps you to know God. Do you understand that God and Allah are different? That Muhammad is not Jesus. I don't care how many times we're told they're equivalent. It's not true. And so, yeah, a manifesto of hope. You know what? Maybe they're right. Because when I see people swallowing this, I say, we got to be close. Because you see, the Antichrist is going to need a one world religion or one world culture, and it's being ushered in. It's going to be endorsed by churches. I honestly think when Jesus comes, they're going to be so relieved to be rid of Warren Smith and Dave Hunt and Robinson and Jim. They're going to say, wow, breath of fresh air, no negative preaching. And they're right. Antichrist will come in, it'll be all positive, all. But you know what? It won't be true. Not because we're true, but because the Bible we preach from is true. Do you see the lukewarm church? What does the Bible say would be in the last days? He said that the church of Laodicea. And so there's more we could say about that, but for the sake of time, I want to go on. Oh, wow. You know what? I'm going to back up. I got to get in trouble. The Lord won't let me back up. You're lucky. Oh, I don't want you to see that. Pretend like you didn't see that yet. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Let me just tell you how fast things are changing. You know, I've got to know how much time I've got. Someone tell me, 5 minutes or 2 minutes? No, I don't have that. Minus 3 minutes? You got to be kidding me. The last thing my wife says is, do not go over time. Yeah. She won't know. Okay. Now she probably has a device. Oh, hey, yeah. Speaking of that, I meant to tell you. I left it at the hotel. United Magazine. Wow. They have a new gadget for $99. You put this gadget in your briefcase or in your kid's car, and then you Google it. They can locate you to 2.5 meters anywhere on planet Earth. Yeah. You know what? The Antichrist is going to have to be able to locate you. That's why he's going to put a device in. Every person's got to be accounted for. Oh, boy. You know what? This technology is so exciting. I love the technology. You see, it's not the technology that's bad. It's that an evil man will get the technology. You see the point? And so the technology is here exactly as Jesus said. Now, back to the church. I've only got time now for one illustration. Back home. I'm just so heart sick because a fundamental church, and I mean this was pastored by a godly man. I think at least 50 years, or around 50 years. And it was a hallmark in the community. Anyone who came from that church, you knew this. They had heard right from wrong. They'd heard heaven bright, hell hot. They knew the penalty of sin, and they knew the price that Jesus paid on the cross. You could count on that. And when that dear man retired, they interviewed for a pastor. You know what? I'm beginning to think that's not a very good way to find a leader for a local group of Christians. Because anyone can go and preach some magnificent message. He's probably got two or three in his briefcase. But he came out there, and of course, to identify with the kids, you know, he had to unbutton a couple buttons on his shirt, you know, and show that he had hair, chest, or whatever. And he had to wear tennis shoes, you know, because that makes you cool if you can walk around in tennis shoes. And he didn't use a whole Bible, you know, just had a small one he could put in and out of his pocket. And he was relevant to the time. And they said, wow, that, you know, this. And they hired him. And within 1 year, as they tried to appeal to the neighborhood, his famous line was this: we don't want to offend anybody. So they took their symbol, which was a heart with a cross in it. They took the cross out. Yeah. They changed the name of the church. I mean, it's everything that you could change to make it absolutely neutral doctrinally, they've done it. Because you don't want to offend anyone. Boy, did Jesus ever offend anyone? Now, you know what? I want them to be offended at our doctrine, but not offended at us. You see, there's a difference. And I apologize right now. I'm too aggressive for some of you. God built me wound up tight as a corkscrew. And wow, there's just days when I'm done at the end of the day and I say, Lord, I still got some fight in me. Give me someone to fight. You know? And I wish it wasn't that way. And I think, okay, I'm going to sleep in, you know, and I try to sleep in, you know, and I look and the clock says 2:45. I think, man, I again, now it's 2:45. And I say, I got to get up. I cannot stay in this bed one more time. Do you ever oversleep, you know, sleep to about 3:20? And you get up and say, man, wasted half the day. Okay, how did I get up on that? I don't know. I was talking about the Antichrist, and so, well. I'm just saying, look, we may offend people because we're overzealous. But the real truth is, the message I can't apologize for. It's God-given. I hope I can deliver it in love. I hope I can deliver it with some passion. Because God would have us to be passionate about what we feel. And these things, listen, it's the matter of eternal life and eternal death. How can I be neutral on that? How can I not be excited about seeing someone rescued from going to hell? And so, I think we live at a time. The Bible says that the church would be the Laodicean church. It would be the lukewarm church. And then technology. Wow, you know, we've looked at some of that. And I think for the sake of time, I've got to pass that. I do want to show you a little video. Do I have time for this or not? Okay, I can't remember how long this one is, but it's not real long. I say that, and I can't remember. Yeah, you see, I think what we would have to say is that the world is changing, and in every way that it's changing. What we'd have to also say is this: it's changing to exactly how the Bible said would be in the last days. What did he say? Well, he said that these things would be true. Now, the idea of political deception, and you know what? I've got to stop. I'll start there because I want to show you. I want to show you the planned deception. This idea of deception, it's not an accident. It just didn't come. But you see, the things that we've been looking at, we're looking at the fact that, we're watching the indicators of the Bible. The indicators of the Bible is this, that in the last days, the church would become weak, deluded, and lukewarm. Is it true? In the last days, the world would shrink so that it could be controlled by a single man, a single world leader. Is that true? The Bible says in the last days, the economies of the world will be linked together so that in 1 hour, the entire world will go bankrupt. Is that true? Yes. The Bible says that there would be technology so that every single person could be marked and followed. I mean, that's what it says. Yes. And we're watching that take place before our eyes. The Bible says that there will be political deception. And we'll see the root cause of that. The Bible will use that word a dozen times, two dozen times. Here's my point. He said, you can discern the signs in the sky, the weather, more than you can discern the signs of the time. What more would Jesus have to do? There are some big signs that we want to talk about. One of those is Israel. The Bible says that Israel would have to be destroyed and come back again. The Bible would have to says that in the last days, the world will hate Israel. The Bible says that Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling. That all the nations will gather against Jerusalem. I mean, it says Jerusalem. Wow. The Bible even names the enemies of Israel. And they're exactly the enemies that are here today. And says that the world will side against Israel with the enemies for no cause. You know, you want to know why I shudder? Because as I read the nuclear treaty that was just proposed. My PhD is in engineering. And two-phase flow in nuclear reactors. And do you realize that when the United States signed a deal with Russia, and Russia is a country that we know will go against Israel, and the United States sided with Russia, you ever wonder how come Israel will no longer have the United States to be part of her system? I'll tell you why. We just signed a contract that was absolutely unbelievable with an enemy that Russia would like to destroy America, and we signed a treaty with them. And Israel has helped America, and we signed a treaty against them. And I can say this, Lord, how long? How long till the trumpet sounds? Do these things discourage me? No. You want to know why? Because it's exactly what the Bible said. If I didn't know Christ, I'd be discouraged. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What a hope we have. But ours is the only hope. There's no other hope. There's no hope in a political party. There's no hope in one of my grandsons said, let's get an island. Let's make our... I said, what good would that do? One earthquake. Father, we thank you for your word because it does give us signs for the last day. Father, may we be weathermen. May we be those that are willing to say, this is what the Bible said. May we warn people with sincerity and with love. Father, it's not fun to preach on things that are negative. But Father, we're so glad that we have something that's positive, and that positive is this, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. The death could not hold him. He rose again. How wonderful to have something so positive as Jesus Christ to be our Savior. May we tell the world about Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.